want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Breaking the Cycle of Just Going Through the Motions. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
You know, seeing those Ukrainian peoples meeting together and singing their songs, they were not just going through the motions. It meant something to them. And, you know, I really hope that the church in America doesn't have to get to that place before the church in America is really, really serious about the things of Jesus. And so I want to just kind of talk about this tonight, breaking the cycle of just going through the motions. And this, I can guarantee you, it applies to all of us, because for myself, as well as anybody hearing this message, it is so easy to get in a place where you're just going through the motions. Because, you know, there's so much responsibility, you know, that if, as an adult, you have. And so it's an easy thing to fall into that trap and to fall into that cycle. Now, I want to preface what I'm going to say with this. I am not talking about being irresponsible. God does not, he's not asking us to be irresponsible. Would you agree? There are some things that have to be done on a regular basis. They just have to be done. You know, I don't know about y'all, but our trash passes by early Monday morning, and if we want the trash thrown, we have to get the trash can out to the road every Sunday evening. That has to happen, right? There are certain things that have to happen, but really the main thing is us, it's our attitude. I'm not talking about necessarily just the things we do, but I'm talking about our attitude, and we can forget why we do what we do. So let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 53, and this is a familiar account, I'm sure, with most people. It says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging." Now, I didn't know this, had never heard this, but Timaeus means, Pastor Mike Melee says, that means he was the nastiest man in the city. His father was not a good guy, right? So here he is, by virtue of just his bloodline, he was looked down on, but then on top of that, he was blind. And so when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And so they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, there's a whole lot of directions we could go with this portion of Scripture, but I really want to focus on this idea of getting out of this cycle of going through motions. In Japan, many years ago, there was a man in the Imperial Orchestra, and he couldn't play a note on an instrument. But being a person of great influence and great pride and great wealth, he had demanded that he be given a place in the group because he wanted to perform for the emperor. The conductor agreed to let him sit in, being he was such a influential, rich man. And so he sat in the second row of the orchestra, even though he couldn't even read music. He was given a flute, and when the concert would start, he would raise his instrument, he would pucker his lips, and he would move his fingers as though he was playing. And he would go through all the motions of playing, but he never made a single sound with that flute. And this deception continued for 2 years. And then a new conductor took over. And he told the orchestra that he wanted to personally audition every player in the orchestra. And one by one, they had to perform in his presence. And then came the flutist's turn, and he was frantic with worry because he knew he couldn't play that thing. And so he pretended to be sick. But the doctor was ordered to go and examine him and declared that he was perfectly well. The conductor insisted that the man appear and demonstrate his skill, and shamefacedly, he had to confess to the conductor that he was a fake. Now, this story illustrates the reality of people living a life that just goes through the motions, because one day we will have to stand before the great conductor who is going to hear from us personally. And he's going to know whether or not it's real or not. And so this story illustrates spiritually, I believe, what's going to happen for all of us. We'll have to stand before him. And so we've all heard this phrase, going through the motions. In fact, I was curious, and so I looked it up because I thought, yeah, it seems like I remember hearing a song called Going Through the Motions. And so I looked it up, and come to find out there's a whole bunch of songs entitled Going Through the Motions. I guess it's a real common theme. But do we know what it really means or how it may apply to our lives? So literally, it means to just do the same thing over and over again. Now, remember, some things need to be done consistently and over again. But it all has to do with why we're doing it. And so some things God has called us to do. Every Sunday I get up here and I preach a message. Every Wednesday, if it's not me preaching, somebody's going to be up here preaching a message. And so there's certain things that need to be done, but we can never forget why we do it. Otherwise, we're going through stuff and we're not really catching anything and nothing changes in our life. And so it literally means to do the same things over and over again. But the context we're talking about is just doing it over and over again and not even knowing why we do it. It is to live out a constant routine. It is, for what we're talking about, it is to never change for the better. So when we just go through the motions, we will never truly experience God in His power. That's why over the years, and you've heard me say this, over the years, growing up in church, growing up in a church like this, I have seen various moves of God where God moved in various ways. And then when God begins to move in a different way, there's always going to be a crowd that's going to try to force Him to move the way He did last time. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They will actually turn that thing into an idol. And, you know, I won't say the name of the minister, but there was a minister many, many years ago who the Lord used in signs, wonders, and miracles. And he, at that time, you know, they had, at best, they had cassette tapes to record his messages. But there is a whole group of people that still follow this man. And basically, they sit around and they listen to his cassette tape teachings. And that's it. That's how they have church. And so, and they expect the same manifestations to happen the same way and so on and so forth. They have gotten caught in a cycle. And that's why from time to time, God changes it up. He says, I ain't doing that anymore. You know, and then so people will say, well, you know, this is the way it was when I was growing up. Or sometimes maybe people will change churches. They'll go to a different church for whatever reason. They say, well, you know, back at the church I used to go to, this is the way we did it, trying to get you to do it that way. Well, then why did you leave that church if you loved it so much, right? My point is this. God is always looking to change us because He's always wanting to bring us from glory to glory. He never wants us to get stagnant. And so we will never truly experience God or His power if we choose to stay in that cycle. And it's a vicious cycle which can waste all of our kingdom potential. There's so much kingdom potential. Even in this small group tonight, there is so much kingdom potential in this room, enough kingdom potential to turn the world upside down. I believe that. I'm not just saying that. We saw that demonstrated in the scripture. So how do we break this cycle? If this applies to you in this moment, well, then good. But if it's not for this moment, it'll be for a later time when you're tempted to just go through the motions. Number one is this. You got to be responsible for your own life. You know, I've said this many times over the years, but one of the problems with many people in the American church is they expect the guy that stands behind a pulpit to do all their spiritual living for them. We learned that for many of us who came through the denomination out there where the only holy one is the guy up there who's, you know, blessing the bread and the wine and that kind of stuff. And he's expected to be holy while everybody else can go and party and do whatever they want to do. Right. Some of y'all came out of that system. Right. And so people have this idea that it's only the priest that lives that way. But then the scripture tells us we're all priests. Right. And so we have to be responsible for our own lives. You know, the scripture says this about Bartimaeus. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. So Bartimaeus had to be responsible for himself. No one could do this for Bartimaeus. It was his choice to seek Jesus that day. You know, he could not be forced into action. He could not be forced to believe. It was a choice on his part. And so Bartimaeus was, you know, all his life, he'd been going through the motions. I mean, it'd be just been a routine. All his life, because he was blind, he didn't have a whole lot of options. I mean, he basically, if he was going to survive, if he was going to live, he was going to have to go sit out on the side of the road and beg for money. And he was going to have to wear the cloak that the government allowed him to wear to show that he was a beggar. And so he went to the same place each day to beg for money. And so if Bartimaeus was ever going to move beyond the motions, the cycle that he was trapped in, it was going to be up to him. How many of you would agree? Nobody could do that for him. So you got to take responsibility for yourself. You know, we get stuck going through the motions. We get stuck in our personal lives. We get stuck in our professional lives, you know, on your job, so on and so forth. We get stuck in our spiritual lives. We get stuck in our church life. How many of you believe that it is very possible for people to come walk through these doors every service and just go through motions because we feel like this is what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to show up here and do this to make God happy. And so the fact of going through the motions is not so much the problem, but staying stuck in a mode of living that is not bringing us higher or bringing any fruit in our lives, that's the problem. And so you have to make a choice. You can either stay in a fruitless cycle of going through the motions or make the effort to move beyond the cycle into fruitfulness. And it does take effort on our part. It is our responsibility. Our parents can't do it. You can't do it for your children or your grandchildren. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We all have to take personal responsibility to make sure we keep that cycle broken in our lives. So Jesus is speaking here to the fruitless Jewish leaders of his day when he says this in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. He says, therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Because he's all about fruitfulness. And if we're stuck in that cycle of just going through the motions, even religious motions, there will be no fruitfulness in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about being unfaithful. Of course, there are things that we are called to be faithful to, and we do those things, and we do them faithfully, and we may have to do it every day, but that's not going through the motions as long as it's done out of faithfulness to God, out of a heart for God. All right, so number one, we said, was be responsible for your own life. Number two, be a believer in the truth that he can change your life. Be a believer in the truth that he can change your life. Now, this is something that most people in their head, they would say, well, yeah, I believe that. I believe God can change my life. But honestly, they're not real sure how he can do that. And in their actions many times, because nothing ever changes, it's proof that they don't really believe that. But be a believer in the truth that he can change your life. He said to Jesus, he said, Rabbi, I want to see. So Bartimaeus believed that there was hope for his life. The likelihood for Bartimaeus to remain a beggar all his life was very high. He didn't have a lot of options, like I said. And so he believed in Jesus. I don't know how he knew Jesus' name. I don't know how he knew of Jesus other than probably somebody testified about what they had seen and heard, which we all should be doing, right? Somebody apparently had testified, but somehow he knew who Jesus was. And he believed in Jesus and that he could be healed. In other words, that he could break out of this vicious cycle that he was in his life. There is hope for your life. The same Jesus that healed Bartimaeus is still working in the lives of those who believe today. Aren't you glad he didn't stop working? Now, he works through us. He works through his body, but he did not stop working. So never lose the hope that Christ can work in your life, because Christ cannot work where there is no faith, right? So if we want to break the cycle, then you have to come to Jesus with faith. You have to come to Jesus knowing that he absolutely has the power to do what needs to be done. You got to believe that change is possible for you. Number three is be specific about your need. So what we're doing is we're just drawing some principles, some nuggets out of this, and see what worked for Bartimaeus. If it worked for him, I believe it'll work for us. Be specific about your need. Jesus asked him the question. He said, what do you want me to do? I believe Jesus is still asking that question to us. What do you want me to do? Now, keep in mind, as we balance that with all of Scripture, with the whole counsel of the Word, what we tell him we want him to do should be something that lines up with his Word and that he's already revealed to us and put on our hearts. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears it, right? I believe that because he said your faith has healed you. So I believe that faith had already begun to arise in Bartimaeus's heart. I believe that Bartimaeus already had a revelation that God wanted him healed. He already knew that before Jesus ever arrived on the scene. And so when Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? That was easy. He said, hey, I want to see, right? So Jesus gives this question. It's a serious question. He's not just, trying to hold a conversation. And when Jesus asked the question, he must have an answer. So when's the last time you told him what it is you need him to do for you? You need to clarify the needs that you have with God. Be specific. What is it that you really need from God? Y'all all know the story, but I'll cut it real short. But just to talk about the fact that, when we got our house several years ago, it came through, prophetic words being spoken, so on and so forth. But the last one that was given to us, the fourth one that was given to us, it was be specific. They said, write down what you want in a house. Be specific about it. And so me and Pastor Cindy literally sat down with a pen and a tablet. We were very specific. This is what we want. Every detail we could think of that we both agreed on, we wrote it down on that tablet. And when he gave us our house, it was exactly that. And we didn't go looking for it. I'm telling you, it still blows my mind. That was a supernatural thing, okay? But we were told, be specific. In fact, this is what we were told. Tell him what you want. Put in your order. Tell him exactly what you want. Because he had already put it on both of our hearts. That's why it was what we agreed on and we wrote down on the piece of paper. And I'm telling you, every single detail to a T was fulfilled. And so what is it that you really need from God? Knowing what it is that you need from God sometimes can be difficult because you have to discover and figure out that only he can provide it for you. One of the clues about what you need from him is if you can't do it for yourself and he's going to have to provide it, then that's probably one of the things that he's wanting to do for you. Now, I believe that he'll let you know in your spirit ahead of time, but what you need him to do is not something that you can accomplish on your own, right? So having a need in your life met by God means that you see it and you understand it And then if it's an issue in your life, that a problem that you're having in your life, you got to be willing to admit it. Don't let pride keep you from admitting it. And then you must know what you truly need. So, for example, a lot of times we need things, sometimes things that we don't even want to admit, but sometimes, you know, we need forgiveness. Sometimes we need His grace working in us that can only be found through Him. Sometimes we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to live each and every day, especially when we're going through a trial of some kind. You know, you need physical, emotional, spiritual healing that only Jesus can give to us. All of us have pain. All of us have hurt in our lives. You know, there are some wounds that only Jesus can heal. And so those are absolutely things that we need from Him. Here's the thing. Be careful not to ever put some kind of limitation on your life thinking, oh, well, He would do this for me, but He won't do this. Well, He'll heal this, but, you know, I don't think He's too worried about this, right? No, by His stripes, you've already been healed. That's everything we need, right? And so, again, there are some wounds that only He can heal. It's not something we can take care of on our own. So, wouldn't you think it's time that we allow Jesus to work in the deepest recesses of our being? I believe it's time for the church to do that. Now, number four, again, we're talking about to break out of the cycle of just going through the motions. Number four is be unconcerned about what others who are stuck in that cycle might think. When God's trying to break you out of a cycle, you're always going to have somebody trying to hold you there. Just telling you, that's the way it is. It says, many rebuked Him and told Him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus didn't allow people to sway him. You know, how many of you discovered that people are fickle? People are fickle. People will pretend to be your friend until you start breaking out of the cycle that they're in that they don't want to break out of. And then next thing you know, they treat you like an enemy. I mean, and that happens even, you know, some of you know, some of you had even family members who, you know, you were bound in a religious system that was, you didn't even understand what it meant to be born again, what it meant to be saved. And when you broke out of that cycle, man, your own family probably persecuted you. That happens to people all the time. I've said it before, but, you know, I've seen people who were drunks and drug addicts and got radically saved, and their family persecuted them for being saved as though they'd rather them be a drunk or a drug addict. So people are fickle. So the simple fact is that most people don't really care about what God wants for your life. You can't ever allow them to out-influence God. And they can't do that unless you allow them to. So God wants to be the primary influence in your life. The problem is that we fail far too many times to listen to God's voice and follow His direction. That's the problem. In fact, if you're going to get out of the cycle, it's going to be because you heard Him and you followed His direction, but sometimes His direction sounds a little cuckoo. Sounds like this sounds crazy. And it will never go against His word and what His word says, but sometimes it'll go against what makes sense to you. You cannot allow people to drown out the voice of God in your life. So you have to ask, who has the most influence in your life? Is it other people who can't hear from God, or is it God? I mean, that's important. That's important for all of us. You better be careful where you get counsel from. I always say, be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Decide now whose direction you're willing to follow for your life. Number five, be willing to go to Him no matter the circumstances. Now, what do we mean by that? It says, as Jesus and His disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. So naturally speaking, Bartimaeus did not choose the right circumstance. They were in a situation where, you know, he could have very easily thought, well, they're trying to get somewhere. They're trying to go. Anybody ever had somebody show up at your house right when you were trying to leave to go somewhere? Or you had plans to do something, and but something interrupted that? You know, he could have kind of felt that pressure. And I have a feeling that the ones that were telling him to be quiet were his disciples who were with Jesus, who was trying to get somewhere and missing the point of why they were with him in the first place, right? And so naturally speaking, it wouldn't have been the right circumstance. And so it wasn't a good time for him to approach Jesus. Jesus was with the disciples and he was with a very large crowd of people. He was leaving Jericho. It would seem like maybe this wasn't the right time. It's just a thought. But Bartimaeus refused to wait any longer. And I believe Jesus was thrilled by that. And he seized the moment that he was given, and he took his opportunity to call out to Jesus. He seized that moment. You know, maybe he would have never got that moment back. Bartimaeus gave all that he had to this moment. And there's no such thing as the perfect time when it comes to seeking God. Can I tell you what the perfect time is to seek God? Now. Every day, all day, 24/7. There's never a time when we inconvenience him, but sometimes people, I think, feel that way. I have had people tell me, you know, they had a problem. I said, well, did you talk to the Lord about it? Did you ask him about it? Did you pray? Well, no. I mean, I've really had people tell me that. Yeah, I didn't want to bother him with that. Are you serious? Anybody ever had that? Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Well, I didn't want to. I had a guy tell me, he goes, well, you know, he's got all these people. He's pretty busy, you know. He's not concerned about this little thing. I see he's absolutely concerned about that little thing. So he refused. Bartimaeus refused to wait any longer, and he seized that moment that he was given. And so don't wait for the seemingly perfect moment to get out of the cycle of pointless, purposeless, and powerless lifestyle. Don't wait for what you perceive to be the perfect time. The perfect time is now. Faith is now, right? Now faith is. And so life is precious. Every moment is important. And God wants to use those moments to do something great with your life. Don't put it off. Ideal circumstances in life rarely ever exist. But every moment is a right time to seek out and call on Jesus. So let's look at number 6 now. Be confident in his will and power as you approach him. I love this, the picture I mentioned earlier about he was wearing this cloak. Well, this cloak he was wearing was a cloak that was given to beggars. It was called a beggar's cloak, given to beggars to show so the people could see they were a beggar, that they couldn't take care of themselves. It was kind of the welfare system of the day where people could at least see them. And so they were grateful to have their cloak because at least that meant that they might get something, but there was also a whole lot of shame involved with it. And so I love this. It says, throwing his cloak aside. Man, I see the picture. It didn't say he slipped off his cloak. It didn't say, you know, he kind of took it off and dropped it. It said, throwing his cloak aside. I could just see that, man, ripping that thing off and throwing it. Like, you know what? This life is over. I'm not going back into that cycle. Amen? He responded to Jesus. He centered on Jesus. Stepping out gave him new courage. Stepping out gave him new passion. See, he already had faith arising in his heart, but just imagine what happened once Jesus called for him, that Jesus noticed him, that Jesus heard him, and then Jesus said, hey, bring him to me. Man, his faith was going through the roof. And so because he was willing to step out, and that's one of the problems with us sometimes is we're not willing to step out into that place of being uncomfortable because, you know, we're kind of concerned about what other people think sometimes. And, you know, I don't want to cause a disturbance, whatever. And sometimes maybe we just don't feel that confident, but be confident. He was demonstrating great confidence. He threw that cloak off. And so Bartimaeus came with a reckless abandonment, and stepping out gave him a new passion. He cared about nothing except getting to Jesus. There is not a thing he cared about. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what, you know, who was in front of him, who was on side of him. He was focused on Jesus. I just got to get to Jesus. Isn't that amazing that a blind man can focus on Jesus sometimes better than people who see with no problem? So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Everybody say confidence. King James says boldness, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. God's not holding back on the mercy. God's not holding back on the grace, but he does expect us to approach his throne. We have a responsibility. And so we got to get our focus on Jesus. And so the key to being personally renewed is when you place your focus on Christ, it renews our faith. When you place your focus on Christ, it renews our hope for the future. When you place your focus on Christ, it renews our enthusiasm. So how do you place your focus on Christ? Three things real quickly. Ask Him to give you new direction. When's the last time you asked Christ to give you new direction? Secondly, when He gives you the direction, obey Him. Do what He says to do. Go where He says to go. And then thirdly, stay surrendered. Stay surrendered. All right, number seven. This is the last one. Be willing to act immediately when He speaks. So it's not just about, well, yeah, one day I'll get to it, Lord. But when He speaks, do what He says and do it immediately, unless He tells you to wait. So what did it say He did? He jumped to His feet and came to Jesus. He called for Him. He jumped to His feet and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus broke out of that cycle. He got beyond just going through the motions. He acted when he needed to. He did not hesitate. He did not wait. He acted with what we call unconscious obedience. I talked about that the other day. What is unconscious obedience? It's when He speaks to you, you obey before your brain has an opportunity to talk you out of it, because it will try. And so we need the same attitude. You have to move when Jesus calls. When He speaks, we have to act. Listen, God wants to do something great in our lives. I believe that. It doesn't have to be great in the eyes of men, but it's something great in His eyes because it pleases Him. Amen? He wants to do something great in and for our lives. He wants to give us, I believe, incredible blessings. I say it all the time. He's looking for somebody He can trust with more blessings. He's got this whole load of stuff that's not being used. I mean, He's got, you know, the banqueting table filled, and people are just nibbling on some of the little crackers on there. So He wants to do that. All we have to do is step forward and claim those things by faith. So what would have happened? What would have happened if Bartimaeus had stayed stuck in his cycle and just kept going through the motions that day? What would have happened had he just thought, well, you know, I don't want to interrupt Jesus in what He's doing? What if he'd have cared about what the people thought around him? What if he hadn't taken his responsibility for his own life in that moment and just waited for somebody else to say, hey, why don't you come see Jesus over here? I don't know that would have happened. What would have happened if Bartimaeus had just stayed in that cycle that day? I believe absolutely nothing would have happened. I believe he would have never regained his sight. I believe he would have never gotten away from begging. He would have spent the rest of his days on side of the road. And tell your neighbor, it didn't have to be that way. And I believe the same is true for our lives as well. If you do nothing that stretches your faith, it will never grow. If you do nothing that forces you out of the place where we are comfortable, if we never do anything like that, listen, we're just going to stay comfortable and we're going to grow stale. And this doesn't just apply to getting something that we need from God either, by the way, because he was getting something that he needed from God. It doesn't just apply to that. We also have to stop waiting for the right moment, naturally speaking, to do something for God. So it's not just about getting something from God, but it's also about doing something for God. And so if you never follow the call of Christ, you will never find God's greatest blessings in your life. If you never move beyond the motions, nothing will happen. You're going to be stuck in a cycle of a pointless, powerless, purposeless life and go to your grave full of regret. That's what happens when people stay stuck in a cycle. But tell your neighbor, you don't have to stay stuck in a cycle. You know, I think about one of the biblical pictures we have is the Israelites going around and around and around the mountain. But at some point in time, God told them, hey, enough of that. Turn north. Get out of this cycle that you're in. Y'all been in this thing so long and you're going so fast in it, it's sucking you down like, you know, poop in a toilet. Get out of that thing because God has better for us. What is it that you need to do to get out of your cycle? What is it that God has spoken to you about that really makes you uncomfortable, and you've just kind of held him back, said, I don't really want to do that. What is it in your life that you just felt like, well, you didn't want to bother God with it? I think tonight's a good time to just say, well, Lord, here it is. I don't want this in my life any longer. Be specific with him. Take this out of my life. I don't want it here. And when you say, take this out of my life, what you're really saying is I believe you're the source for this. I just believe this can't stay any longer. But what is it that he's also dealt with you about that you just said, I just, that just really stretches me a little too hard, and I'm really not willing to do that. Here, let me give you a couple examples. How about that person that got on your last nerve and God's been dealing with you about going to them and trying to bring reconciliation? Maybe going to that person and just showing them the love of Christ, whether they accept it or receive it. And I'm talking about what God has dealt with, okay? I'm not talking about you just having to come up with something. But when's the last time you asked him, Lord, what is that thing that you want me to do that naturally I'm not comfortable to do? Lord, go ahead and tell me. By your grace, I'm going to do it. Father, I thank you for every person here tonight. I thank you, Lord, that, God, you don't want any of us stuck in that cycle. That includes me. Lord, you don't want any of us, Lord, to just go through life and going through the motions and living a life that's purposeless and pointless and powerless. God, you have an incredible purpose for us. You have an amazing power that you made available to us. Lord, you've given us, you've appointed us for something special that changes lives, God, for eternity. Father, I pray, help us tonight, Lord, to truly grasp what you're trying to say to us, to catch it in our hearts and in our spirits, Lord. Something has to happen in the church in America. Something has to happen. And God, and we're part of that church. Something has to happen in us and through us that makes an impact on those around us, God. Lord, people are wondering. People are scared. People are overwhelmed. They're looking for answers, and we have the answers. Father, help us. Help us to walk this thing out. Lord, we know it's your will. We know it's your will, Lord, for us to impact people, to shine the light of Jesus Christ. We know it's your will for us to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and to cast out devils and even to raise the dead and heal incurable diseases. We know that is your will. You've made it known in your word, Father. We know it's your will to speak truth that breaks people out of sin, God, that brings them to freedom. We know that's your will. Help us, Father, to not forget why we're here. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you once again, Lord, for these people that come out on a Wednesday night. Lord, to just get more, to be in your presence with fellow believers. Thank you, Father. I pray just supernatural blessings upon them. May there be supernatural increase in their life, Father, in every way, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, may their lives be fruitful, more fruitful than they ever thought possible, as they choose and refuse to not be stuck in a cycle of going through the motions. Thank you, Father. We believe you, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.